I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We are doing a show.
A live show.
On tour.
Yes, all around the country, starting from October the 20th.
In Bromsgrove, in the West Midlands, is it?
Something like that.
Somewhere like that.
Anyway, go, if you want tickets, go to livenation.co.uk and then it's the Angelus and Barry show.
Please come and see it. The more the merrier.
It's going to be great fun.
It'll be great fun. And we've been writing it, which is why we haven't been doing this show. We're writing a proper show.
Okay.
Come and see it.
All right. Thank okay, you. See you there. Bye.
Bye.
What's the name of that? That family that run the world. What is it? That lot.
Onassis.
Onassis. Not them. The other one.
Goldberg.
Goldberg. Not them. Them. The huge family. Like the
Rothschilds.
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 Them. That lot. Yeah. Rothschilds.
What about them?
Well, they run the world, you know, and they run like a lot of England. They run.
Yeah.
And they run.
Mind control.
They do all the mind control.
Oh, Wolves is good. Wolves is just
well,
scored.
This is it, isn't it? Never mind about Wolves. This is this is what the Rothschilds want.
Isn't it? They want us distracted.
They want you distracted by the football, so they can take over the world and then run the banks as well. Isn't
what
it?
Would they make of our podcast?
Well, I know for a fact that the Rothschilds listen to this.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. They do because they want it. Because they know that we are plugged right into the zeitgeist.
We're in the zeitgeist.
Because they live in their ivory tower.
Yeah.
Rothschilds. I'm talking about all of them guys now.
All them guys.
All them guys. The Rothschilds and
Cowell.
Like, Cowell as well, and Sugar, and Rockefeller.
And Mikey Carroll.
And Stringfellow.
Yeah.
All of that lot. Oh, all live in the Cabal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Cable car. Right, and they all...
And that all mind control.
They all do mind control from there. Up in the mountains.
It's funny you should say that. Because, you know, Peter Stringfellow.
Yes.
He's been controlling my mind.
Is he?
The middle of the night I woke up and I saw this bird all dressed up in leopard. Leopards going, do you want to dance?
Hey, yeah,
I'll dance for you.
Yeah.
I don't. And I said, all right. So she's sort of wriggling and stuff. And I'm saying, no touching. Not
no,
allowed.
No.
There's a 2-foot rule. You're not allowed to touch and all that. There's a bouncer looking, and I'm getting all steamed up, you know.
Right.
And she's all wriggling her bottoms.
Yeah.
Anyway, she does it. Now she turns around. Jesus Christ, if it wasn't Peter Stringfellow himself.
This is it. And no doubt you handed him quite casually. You just handed him 20 quid.
I did.
Yeah.
And this is it.
He went,
thank you very much for not touching. But I am a businessman, and, you know, come and sit on my.
Adult exchange between two adults.
Consulting.
Consenting adults. I have provided a service here where you paid for it.
That's right.
But you didn't know none of that was going on because you was having your... Well, this is what they do.
Of course
now,
they
look,
do.
Sugar...
And he had a lovely pair of tits, so I'll give him that.
I know, for an older man. But this is what they do because Sugar... He done the same to me.
That's why they call it lap dancing because Peter Stringfellow's tits were jiggling around in his lap. Carry on, Sugar. What did he do?
Sugar's got hold of my mind, hasn't he?
Oh, I know he has.
The other night.
Oh, he's got a shake of this. He's got hold of your mind again.
He crawled in there, gone right in through the ear, right? And he's got hold of my mind.
Yeah.
And I was I was trying to walk past Jixon's
right.
The other day.
Yes.
And I could hear him in my mind, Sugar, going, just nip into Jixon's. right.
Yeah.
So I've
mind control.
He's got hold of me.
Yeah.
Before I know it, I'm in Dixon's.
Yeah.
And he says, right, just go over to the tea's made area.
Yeah.
Right. And I was
before just, you knew it.
Before I knew it, I was over by the plastic phone and cheese made combination area.
Which he makes, doesn't he? Cool. Satellite phone and cheese made.
Exactly. Yeah. And before I knew it, he says, right, buy four of them.
Yeah.
And I had four of them in my bag. And I was out of Dixon's before I knew that I had parted with 120 quid.
God.
And this is sugar got hold of my mind, you know.
Well,
this is what they do.
This is what they do. Peter Perfidis off of Dragon, the Dragon Den.
Off of Dragon's Den. He's one of them.
He's mind control.
He's mind control.
I was in the park with the grandkids, just pushing them on the swing, nice as pie.
Yeah.
Suddenly I get in my head that I want some hummus with tarragon salata, any kind of Greek dip.
Food.
Before you know it, I've gone down the cricket bab shop. Open up! It's only like 11 o'clock in the morning.
And also, you're hungover as well.
I've gone, open up! And basically, Perfidis has got into my mind. In all these Greek ways, before I knew it, I was not paying my tax.
Smashing
the place up, right. Blaming Angela Merkel for the fact that the kebab shop wasn't open. I went all Greek.
Yeah, I know.
Ever so Greek.
He had got in there,
and this is how
they get in through, you'll find that it's most of the people watching on telly that's getting in through.
The wealthy ones.
All the ones with money.
Yes.
Who are on the telly? Who are getting in through your mind?
Yes,
and them are the ones that are controlling us and the world. And we need to start waking up to this stuff. You know,
that is correct.
And letting the world know what is going on for real.
We are at the forefront of free thought.
Free cool.
We are at the forefront of telling people what's what in this world.
This is our new wake-up program.
The new wake-up program, the Angelos and Barry wake-up.
Yeah, we need you to wake up, guys, because there's stuff going on in this world that, you know.
They'll pull the wool over your eyes. Luckily.
Yeah, that's what they want.
I get the Daily Mail, so I do
know what's going on.
The world's first child... Get this one, has been born using a revolutionary technique,
that
combines the genes of three parents. It's got traditionally.
Three eggs?
No, three people have contributed, sperms and all that, to contribute to producing this, I suppose you call it a baby.
All right, so how many, talk me through this, because there's three people.
Well, I assume there's one is a female lady.
Yeah.
The other is a man who produces part of his...
So one of them is a woman, one of them is a man. But what's the other thing?
I don't know, man. You don't say. I can only assume it's another man.
Well,
maybe it's
another man, but maybe it's some other thing that we don't know about.
Look, all I know is it says in this... paper. Basically, this is the science bit.
All right, talk me through
it. They take the eggs, the mother.
Where do they get that from? Out of the fridge?
Presumably the eggs. So the mother, she's not a mother yet. The woman takes some eggs out.
Okay. Sticks them in the fridge?
Presumably.
In a box?
She's got a damaged mitochondria.
Yes, I know about that. They keep that quiet.
They keep that very quiet. Yeah. She takes the eggs from the donor.
From the box.
The donor. There's a donor involved somewhere with these eggs.
Okay. Well, that's probably the name of the person.
Yeah, donor takes her
donor
eggs.
Donor takes her eggs.
She's got a healthy...
Sticks them in a box, bungs them in the fridge.
That's it. She's got a healthy mitochondria.
Yes.
She removes the nucleus.
She's like a bomb.
And from the mother's egg, that's on the second egg.
Right.
It's all very complicated.
No, it sounds fairly simple.
And then they whip it all up.
Donna's got her egg, she takes them out, sticks them in a box, bungs them in the fridge, and takes the nuclear bomb out of the eggs and then sticks that somewhere.
And then the man does something over the nuclear bomb, I can only assume.
Oh, I thought so.
The nuclear mushroom pops up, and before you know it, you 9 months later, baby. There's a nuclear baby made of three people.
Well, where's the other bloke coming from?
Well, this is what they don't tell you.
Well, they don't want you to know about that, do
but
they?
Imagine if that becomes all the rage. I had produced two children. The prospect of another man
being there with... And also, whether a baby comes out, you'd be thinking, well, that is definitely my leg. But that looks like his arm. I'll have to give it to him.
That looks like, yeah, that's that clearly, well, he's got my nose, but my neighbour, Derek.
He's got his eye.
He's got his eye.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, right old mishmash, isn't
it? Right old mishmash. Confusing right old on Father's mishmash. Day, is it?
Very, very difficult on Father's
very,
Day.
Very, very difficult. But I don't like the idea of that, you know, no, too many people.
No, to me it sounds like there's too much fiddling about going on there. It seems very unnatural, but again, this is what they want.
Again.
This is what they want. They're trying to breed a super race of humans.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's the government what's doing this.
Yeah.
The government will be behind this somehow. And who's behind the government?
Yeah, Simon Cowell and Sugar and Stringfellow.
Big Stringfellow and the rest
well,
of them.
Well, talking of medical issues, how do I look different? Have a look. What do you think? What am I?
Okay, let's have a look there.
See that there?
Oh, you. Well, that's got a bit bigger. All right.
That is a bit bigger. That's because I caught it in the door on the way.
Oh, it was swelled up.
It swelled up.
Okay.
What's this here?
Well, you've got a bit more
hair
on your head, haven't you?
My head,
a bit
yes.
more hair on your head. What have you done? Because you didn't have that much hair there before.
No, I've been on a tube.
Who, what?
I've been on a tube.
Oh.
And I saw these adverts for the Belgravia Centre for having a hair transplant. Oh. Well,
a lot of money then.
Too much money for a pensioner.
Okay.
I've looked it up on the internet. They do
something.
Because
you are quite a vain man.
Yes,
even though
I am.
You're 82 and, you know, you have lost quite a bit of your hair, you're still thinking, I've still got a chance with the buzz.
Well,
I might as well get this sorted out, you know.
If I look at you like this and I come to bed eyes,
that's right.
I could almost be
Juliette Binoche.
I could almost be her in The English Patient. Although you don't look dissimilar to him. Funny enough. Anyway.
Well, that's after my plastic surgery. I went to the same place that you went to get your
hair. I'm in Czechoslovakia.
Exactly.
So I went out, I flew out to Czechoslovakia. I went out on a ferry because I wanted to.
You drove there.
Margaret's gone, don't be so silly.
You waste your money on a plane.
Yeah. What sort of service are you going to get for a hair transplant in Czechoslovakia?
Yeah.
I went round. There's a garage, you know, it's sort of one of them valet things.
You have to knock on a few doors.
I knocked on
a few doors
and eventually a Czechoslovakian bloke popped his head out. He said he was a doctor. I doubt it. He had an ice cream van man's white coat on. And,
he could have been a butcher.
It could have been anything you
milkman.
Like. Yeah. He said he was a trichologist.
If he says it, who are you to say? Well, it's hard for you to disagree because you don't speak the language.
No, I don't.
You have to take it at face value. Yeah.
So he comes in and he shows me various pictures which you could see on any wall of a barber shop from, you know, same pictures they've had there since 1973.
Oh, sun bleach.
Sun bleach. And he goes, you want this one? You know, like that.
Yeah. I can give you hair like this.
You want this one? You know, sounded like...
Chalky.
You want this one, he said. And I went out, so I plumped for a very attractive young man.
All right.
And he goes, okay.
Wayne Rooney.
Trousers down. And of course.
What did he say?
Trousers down.
Trousers down.
Trousers down. And what they do is.
You must have had a slight reservation when he says,
well.
Right, pull your trousers down.
Yes, there was no consultation process. Nothing. Coughed up the
pull
money.
Pull your pants down.
Yeah. I gave him 20 zlotys.
Okay.
And then he's looking up his zloty. And 20 and I said, I want to look like that one up there.
Okay.
And it was Gary Numa from about 1979. So he goes, okay, we give you the new man. Trousers down. So I pull my trousers and the pants down correspondingly.
In for a penny.
And what they do is they take your gooch hair.
Oh, you what?
Gooch hair. gooch hair. So get all your gooch hair.
I mean,
off.
It must be a shock because they don't tell you they're going to do that.
Well, I'd heard about this at the Braille Gravier Centre.
Oh, right. So you'd been there for a consultation?
No, I'd read it in the Optima in Watford, in the Banff. But this geezer, old Czechoslovakian Charlie, yeah. He's whipped off my chair with a bit of sellotape and he's gone... Where do you want it? Yeah. So he's looking at the picture of Gary Numan, which has faded significantly. He couldn't even make it. And his mate comes in. He's got all grease on his head. He's been doing a car out the back. And he's gone,
why not?
You want the Gary Numan? So, you want the Gary Numan, you see? Yeah. So I've sat down on a stool. I sat down on the school and all my chair was put on
white chair.
Well, I've said it's not good enough. There's not enough hair there. So he goes, oh, there's a little bit more. So he gets at it with what I could only call as a scalpel, wouldn't you know?
Oh yeah.
He lops one of my balls off.
You could have said it's a very nice chair. It should be swinging.
Of course it is.
Here's your pants down and your balls like hang around your
down.
Knees.
Yes,
now,
they do. Yes,
your
they
age.
Do. So, first of all, I was embarrassed. And all I could think was Margaret's words ringing in my head. Don't go there to have your gooch hair off. Yeah. He will lightly...
I'll give you the Gary Newman.
He'll swipe off one of your plums. And sure enough, I did feel a Charlie. Yeah, I sat there with checked the back. Anyway, stuck all this on my head. And see here...
Oh, gorgeous.
Yes,
there
one of my
now. You see, you don't see that from the front.
If I turn around.
Oh, no, don't turn around too quick. Oh, yeah, right.
See, it flaps around.
It smacks you straight in the eye.
Yeah.
There,
if I go like that,
balls.
It's like one of those executive toys.
Yes.
Swing it round, and it smacks me in the eye.
He's shown that right to the scalp.
He's shown the gooch and pubic hair to my scalp, and unfortunately, one of my plums, still in its sack, is hanging off the back of my head. Now,
how about you own it? But I mean, if you pay 20 bench in the hedges,
it's
very likely that this sort of thing
will happen. Who does one complain to?
Well, I don't know. You probably have to write a letter to Juncker.
I will.
You know,
I'll write to Juncker.
Just so you know, Juncker. This is probably not a place for you to go and get your hair done.
Mm,
you know, just
exactly.
A bit of advice. But I went.
I know what you're going to say.
I was on the tube as well, and I saw that posted for the Belgravia Centre, and I thought, I'm going to have some of that as well.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I went in there and I said, how much is it to get my hair, all done that?
Done up.
And they said, it'll be about 30 grand. And I said, well, look, I haven't got that sort of money.
Nowhere near that.
And they said, well, look, we shouldn't really recommend this, but Barry was in here,
and they give you the bloke's
and
name
they said, and he said,
really.
Client confidentiality, they said we shouldn't give out this information, but Barry was in here,
and he
came in really to brag and to say, look what they done to me, and he had a ball flapping on his face, but they had done a good job.
Yes, it's not bad, apart from the bollock.
So I said, okay, well, where is it? And give me an address and that. And I went and I hopped straight on the ferry and I got myself down to Czechoslovakia.
That's right, yeah.
All right. Anyway, I knocked on a few doors and eventually this fella
opens
the door with his white lab coat on. This time it's covered in blood because of the accident he'd had with your ball.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So that's how I knew who it was.
He was the right bloke.
He was the right fella. I said, listen, I've been recommended to you by right, come here on the cheap from the Belgrave Centre. Yeah. And they said, yeah, we get a lot of them people, man. And I'm, again, I knew it was him because of the accent, you yeah. know. And he says, what you want?
Yeah.
So I said, I had a little look up on his board, you know, and all the hairdos and that. And I saw a lovely lovely picture of Jimmy Cliff.
Oh, yes.
Up there from the 70s when That's he had it. A really good, you know, microphone.
Yeah.
And I said, I wouldn't mind.
Something like
I wouldn't
that.
Mind something like that.
Yes.
And they said, he said, okay, Jimmy Cliff. It's all right, pull your pants down.
Yes. And don't muck about, does
no,
it?
No, she's like, no. I said, how much will this cost? I bought 20 Benson and Edges. He said, well, that'll do. Yeah. And he says, I usually charge more, but I don't give a shit.
That's his problem, really.
Yeah, no. Yeah. He's yeah. I think he was pissed.
Yes.
But I didn't want to say because I didn't want to call into question his
professionality. You know. Absolutely. You know. Yeah.
Anyways, pull your pants down. I pull my pants down and he starts hacking at my leg. Right.
Really?
Yes, yeah, straight
oh,
away.
Right. What, the hair on your leg or just the actual
No,
leg?
he starts having a go at the leg. I said, oh, hold on. Yeah. I need that.
Yes.
I need
you do.
That.
Yes.
You know? Mm. He says, all right, you know. Mm. So he gets his sellotape out and he starts just, you know, taking all the hair
off.
Because I need, it's right at the top of my leg, you know, yes. where it gets all curly round on,
curly
the,
whirly,
on
yeah.
the bum.
I know.
So he's taking it off of the sellotape and he's just like stuck it on the top. Stuck it on the top of my head, you know.
Yes.
I looked in the mirror, I said, with all due respect, I said, Jimmy Cliff in that picture, he's got a lot more air than I've got on my head, you know, with his sellotape. Yeah. He says, okay, I was going to go get pissed, but I'll do it. Anyway, he says, pull your pants down. So I pull my pants down again, and this time he does start hacking at the leg, you know.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm not going to say anything. I can't say anything again.
No,
because it's
don't
embarrassing.
His wrath,
you know,
yeah.
It's embarrassing. Yeah. I have to pull him up. So I just let him hack my leg.
Hack away.
So he stuck my leg on the back of my head like a sort of backwards trunk. Now, if you look at it.
Oh, yes.
You see? I mean, the hair looks very good.
It's still on the leg?
But, eh? But the hair, that is the problem, the hair is still on the leg. And if I do that...
Yes, it hits...
I could kick my own arse.
Oh, yeah.
You see, so that's a boon.
That is a boon.
But it only cost me 20 benches. And I walked straight back into the Belgravia Centre.
Hot,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, hot back in there, like bold as brass.
And said, look...
And saying, thank you, 20 benches this cost.
Well...
And they were like... Fair play.
Fair play to you. Play. You know, it's a lot cheaper than 30 grand.
Yeah, that's too much money.
My
that.
Problem was when I was unhappy with the amount of Gooch hair I had, when it's all been taken off.
Oh, yeah.
I went back to Czechoslovakia and I said, I'm awfully sorry, but I do sort of miss my Gooch and anal hair.
Yeah.
And he went, okay. Oh. So he got it off on my head.
Why stuck it back on your Gooch?
I was very silky duck.
Oh, very. Oh, yes. Very, very downy.
Now that
you're like a swan down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He called that the Andrew Castle.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You know, off
yes.
of
the tennis.
The tennis fella. Yeah. And if you look in the right way, if I do that, just lift up that tree.
Oh yeah. Very nice. He's got a side
Finnegan.
Parting.
Yeah.
At Andrew Castle, I feel a bit sorry for him because he's done very well. He done the breakfast telly.
Yes.
And he was doing very good adverts for them lawyers that, you know, make money.
Lawyers direct.
People that get injured and
yeah, oh, that's
you.
Right. Yeah,
very
yeah.
good. But now he's just doing the tennis again, so something must have happened.
Something
must
happened.
Have gone wrong.
Something has probably gone wrong,
gone
with,
wrong
it.
With him.
Funny some of the people you don't see so much.
On telly?
On telly.
Yes.
You know.
Who don't you see no more?
Oh, God, Shankar Guha.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah.
Shankar Guha, and he used to do, like, holiday program.
Oh, no.
Remember
no.
him? And he used to do, like, the holiday program. Asian fella. Oh, always
no.
off round the world.
Globetrotting.
Yeah.
Who's that other one you don't see no more? One that used to be orange.
Terry Wogan.
No, not that one. Not him. That one with the orange Five. Judy, someone. Judith Chalmers.
Yeah.
Something must have happened to Judith Chalmers.
No, she's not around quite
more.
Now, this is what, by the way.
What is it?
Oh, flight attendants.
Back to the mail.
Oh, my God. Flight attendants in the Daily Mail are giving details of the secrets they never tell passengers.
Oh, my God. Like what?
Well, when you was a flight attendant.
Well,
you're trying
we had a lot went on. Heating up meals. That's right.
You know, what did you do? Well, what did the sort of things you used to deliberately blocking up the toilet for a laugh?
It would depend if we liked the customer or not. You know, we did a lot of flirting. But when I was a flight attendant, you have to remember, back then I was a woman. So it was a very different...
You're very different ball game.
Yeah, yeah. No,
did people come on to you
all the time? All the time. And I joined the Mile High Club as well.
Did you?
Yeah, a couple of times
with the pilots, sort of.
With the passengers.
Oh Christ!
Oh yeah. I liked it. I felt good in a skirt. You know, I don't know why I bothered changing actually.
Well, no. I mean, it's always difficult sidling past people, I suppose.
Yeah.
Do you get a little frisson when you're sidling?
Yeah, especially with my big bum.
No, it was very, very...
Well, what did it say in the mail?
Well, it says that there was all stuff like reheating meals.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, we did all that.
Giving people leftovers, all that. But, I mean, your bum was... It did cause problems in the end.
It was huge. I had to get a lot of it locked up.
Czechoslovakia. Yeah, I remember. But do you remember when, I mean, it was really due to you that they started locking the pilot cockpit door.
Because
your big arse. And remember when it pushed it open and you pushed the pilot out the window?
I nearly took the old thing down. I had to man the controls.
That's it.
Yes.
And
my big bum.
Yeah.
Well, there's not enough room in there. Like, they don't take that into consideration when they're designing these
cockpits. No, that's
like,
right.
They think, no, this is all right. There's enough room in here for like three people.
Yeah.
And then I go in there, you know, when I was a woman, like with my massive bum.
Oh, do you want a drink, Captain?
Anyone want a drink? Crash bang water.
Yeah, bang.
And I knock the, I knock one of the controls.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was like the oxygen control.
That's right. And suddenly went into a nose.
His nose shot, and it shut the pilot right out the window.
Well,
now, they tried to pin that on me. And
I know they did.
It's not my fault this cockpit is
too small for your ass. But the worst thing was, remember the co-pilot?
Yeah.
By some strange chance ended up your bumhole and you come down the steps.
That's it.
And you went through anything to declare. And it turned out that the co-pilot was stuck up there in Kuala Lumpur, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was.
God, that was an embarrassing incident. Yes,
and the only way that I could really wipe the slate clean with that was to not be a woman no more.
Well, that was, in a way, that's a shame, isn't it?
Well, it was a shame, but I'm happier now, I must say.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the right place now. Yeah.
I'm realigned, as it were.
My chakras all feel very, very straight.
Yeah.
By the way, we are doing a show.
Oh, God,
we're going to advertise this at the top of the show.
Yeah, we're going to do that, actually.
We are doing a show. Sorry, we ain't been around for a while.
We've been very busy.
We've been on holiday. I went to Vegas, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Before we talk about this,
I've been to Vegas.
Tell me about Vegas. I want to go to Vegas.
I went Vegas. I want to go Vegas
because you got everything in Vegas.
Yeah, not
you got Paris in Vegas. Yeah,
you got
Vienna in Vegas.
Not Las Vegas, the amusement arcade in Watford.
Or in Wardour Street.
Yeah. The actual Vegas. And I went out there minus Margaret. She went to see her sister.
You're on your own.
I was on my own. Gotta tell you, I filled my boots. I went in the casino. I had all our savings out the post office. He goes,
"Red or black, sir?"
You say to Margaret, I'm going to go. And I've got a big business deal. That
I've got a big business.
I'm flying off to close that deal.
That's right. I said I've got to close the deal.
I'm going to need all the money out of post office.
I need all that.
This is too good an offer to miss.
She said, "Don't be so." I said, woman, I'm
doing it. Understand.
You don't understand.
Yeah.
So I went out there on the ferry, saved a bit of money, went out. Vegas way, and I went in the gazebo.
It's taking a long time to get here on the ferry.
Oh, it did take a long time, but I saved the money for the gambling. Red or black, sir?
Red or black?
Red or black?
Red or black? What did you do?
I stuck it on red. It come in red. Oh, bang!
How much you stick on it? Like all your savings?
Yes, like immediately. £300. Immediately, I was up to £600.
Oh,
suddenly, the birds get interested, don't they?
Yeah,
they come around.
The adrenaline
They smell all the endorphins going down my trousers. And they all ground me. Hey,
how's it going, Barry?
You're going fine.
Yeah,
black! All my money, bank,
all of it.
Come up again. $1,200.
Now you're thinking this is more money than you've ever had in your life.
Yeah, all my life. All the birds come out.
You just walked away at that
point? No, I kept going. All the birds around me. And what's it going to be, old timer?
A bit of cocktail.
Yeah, so I've got all the birds a cocktail and that.
Yeah, all drinking it.
Cocktails all round and I'll have a Twix.
Yeah.
And they're all round me. All round me, hanging round my neck. Hey, ladies, they can smell the money.
Well, sure, the money coming off it, yeah.
I put on more.
How much?
Doubled my money again on red, 2004.
This is a high wire act now.
It kept going and going and going.
Yes.
I ended up with $54,000 in chips.
Oh,
why they put chips on the table?
I don't
get money. Very greasy.
There's fish.
And there's some fish I asked for as well. I cashed
the casino manager must have said, excuse me, Mr.
Michael,
I think that's quite enough.
Chips.
It's been a lovely night.
Yeah.
But I think it's time that you went home.
And I said, no, I'll come out here. There's all these fish and chips all over the bloody table.
Yeah.
And one of them says, hey, old timer, you want to go on the crap table?
I
turned around.
I don't think I want to go on that one. I'll stick here with a fish and chips.
Yeah, and so I turned around and I thought it was a mess with the fish and chips. So I turned around and there's shit all over this table. And she went, hey, put $20,000 on that. And there was a big lump of quite hard feces on
it. On a table.
I said, what's all this about? Hey, old timer, don't you know the way? Yeah. Anyway, I must have blown $54,000 on what looked like animal feces on this
cracked table.
And
you lost it all.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Oh, my God.
But I did bring this side back through customs. What do you say that is?
It's a lump of muck. Isn't
it's muck. Now,
it's unidentifiable muck.
Yeah, but muck it is nevertheless. It's a lovely memento of my time in Vegas.
And I suppose you showed that to Margaret and said, "This is a business deal.
This is a business deal.
And this muck is worth $54,000.
That's right. I said, where there's muck, there's brass. Not true in this case.
Stick that in the safe, Margaret.
And
then we can sell that.
Yeah.
Don't you worry, we're sitting on a fortune here.
That's it.
Did she bite it?
No, she's just sitting. It's sort of on the telly, and then she's wiped it off. I put it in the bin, and we've not mentioned it since.
Okay. It's good of her.
It's good of her to not mention it.
A
man can.
Yeah,
that's right.
Spunking all your savings in Vegas.
Yeah, on some animals. What did you go? Where did you go on holiday?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I went to South Africa.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I went to Sun City.
Oh, Sun City.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Yeah. Sun City's great, man.
Yeah.
I went on safari where you see all the animals and that.
I
saw the big five.
Oh.
You know.
Elephant.
Dog.
Yeah.
There's a dog and then there's a cat.
Yeah.
And then was a cow. And there's two others. I think one was
kangaroo.
No, it's not kangaroo. Sheep.
A sheep.
And then one was
The fox.
The big five. And I said to the bloke who was taking the safari, He said, this is, you know, come in here, do it safari. Come and do it safari.
Yeah,
I said, that's wicked. And I handed him over like 300 quid. I said, I can't wait to see the big five.
Yes.
And he says, yeah, we've got all the big five in the back garden here. I said, back garden? He went, just come through the bog this way and past the kitchen and we go out the back door and we're going safari. I said, I thought the safari parks are like huge places. Mm. He says, nah, that is what they leave you to believe.
Yeah.
It's actually just a very smooth place.
Yeah.
I went, okay.
No
okay.
Jeep, no Land Rover.
No Jeep. We just sat in his garden chair.
Yeah.
And we looked out his back garden and then beyond his back garden was his field. Mm. And it had a can of sheep in it. And then he says, there's two of the big five over there.
Yeah.
A can of sheep. I said, we have them in England as well, cows and sheep. He says, but not like this one.
Yeah.
I went, oh, no, okay.
Okay. And who are you to say?
I know. I said, I don't know. I said, that's great. I've seen them. And then he says, we have to wait half an hour for the other three of the big five.
Yeah.
And then, About 20 minutes later, he says, just keep quiet. And he sat there doing a Sudoku.
Yeah.
And I just sort of stared at his back garden. Like,
yeah.
And then he put the Sudoku away and then he started doing some, you know, putting on some online betting with the money I'd given him. You know?
Right.
Yeah. And he says, look over there. And I said, sure enough, his retriever had come out of the house into the back garden and was doing a big shit in the corner of the garden.
He says,
that's one of the big five.
Yeah.
I went, oh, great, I've seen another one of the big five.
Yeah, it's nice to see the wildlife. Though,
no, it's very good. And then his cat walked across the fence and he says, there's another one.
Yeah.
He's just like looking up for his betting,
extra.
You know. And then his fox starts having a root round in the bins. By now, it's like 9 o'clock at night and he's like pissed and still doing his betting and I'm just sort of staring out his back garden.
Yeah, moving and, experience.
Yeah, very, very beautiful
very
experience.
Beautiful.
And then I said, well, he said, right, that's it, that's all of them now, piss off. And I said, oh, well, it's been really wonderful.
Yes.
Thanks ever so much for, like, taking me on safari.
Yeah.
And he says, because he was really drunk.
I think
he was talking in Afrikaans.
Or it's just pissed.
Yeah, I think so. He just went, yeah.
Certainly on my bucket list.
Yeah. No, it's well worth doing. Yeah. Well worth going.
Well, lovely.
Beautiful holiday.
What is well worth doing is come to see us doing our show. Now, that is why we've not been doing this, because we've been writing
been
a bleeding show.
Be writing it.
It's a proper show.
Proper show.
Please come and see the show. It starts not long now, three
October
weeks.
October the 20th.
In Bromsgrove.
We're
going all over the country. Go to livenation.co.uk.
We will do this at the beginning, so you probably already heard.
Yeah, we haven't done that yet. But please come and see the show. Come on, see the show. It won't be this rambling stuff. We've been writing it. It's got proper writing in it.
You're writing in it.
Yeah.
I think we're going to close up shop now.
Yeah.
It's been really great to be back.
Yeah, great to be back, people. Good night.
Okay, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.